Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
Where I want to camp out today for our message is found in Matthew chapter 15, starting at the first verse. And you can follow along. We got all the Bible scripture readings are up on the screen and stuff like that today. But this was just kind of put on my heart, and I just feel like this is what we need to hear today. Matthew chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Ooh, that's a biggie. He answered them. Now Jesus answers them. Jesus says, "And why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition?" Oh, snap. "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. And whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, according to your traditions, but you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother what you have..." All right, no problem. No biggie. Booyah. Better? Okay. Well, no, this might not work. This is going to be hard for me, folks. I just got ball and chained. Not good. Some of you are happy, you know, the middle row people, you're excited because it's like, oh, he's not going to at least come spit on me now. We'll buy batteries. We'll just buy batteries here. I am amazed by how many times in Scripture, there are people groups, there are entire nations that are feeling connected to God, doing all the right stuff, but whose hearts are far from God. I'm amazed by that. I am amazed that in our text today, these are the Pharisees, the scribes, the religious leaders. It's like your pastors. It's like your pastor's conference. Okay? It's your group of religious leadership that are missing it. They're missing the whole thing. Like, it looks to everybody like they're the main spiritual people. They're doing lots of things that make it look like there's some kind of understanding. But in the process or in the whatever it might be, they're completely missing it. They're missing the main point. Relationship with God. A heart that is close to Him. Look through the Old Testament, time and New Testament, all over the place, you will find situations, scenarios, individuals, people, groups who constantly look like everything is put together. They look like they're right, they got it all, but their hearts are far from God. Now this kind of makes sense to us. We can imagine scenarios and situations in our lives where people would say one thing, but then who don't do another. Right? Anybody like ever watch political stuff? You know what I'm saying? Like just starting spot there. Like they say all this stuff. It seems like this is all good, but their hearts are so stinking far from us. Right? Like they don't. No, you're not actually doing anything you said to do, or you're doing lots of crazy stuff, or whatever it might be. Just politics in general, right? I mean, we can imagine situations in our lives where a friend has said they're our friend, but then screw you over. I mean, we can imagine these things. We can imagine somebody who has said they love us, but their heart and their actions and their lives are far from showing any kind of that. I mean, some of y'all have experienced that They say all the right stuff, but their hearts are far from me. Here's my first question. I'm going to ask you two questions today. Today's message is really built around less me preaching at you and really trying to help us think through some things. Here's my first question. Where is your heart at? Where's your heart at today? Okay, some of you smart Alex. I get it's right here. Where's your heart at? Where are you at today? That's the question I want you to be asking yourself. Where is my heart at? Where's my heart? It is scary to me. It's almost freaky to me. As I read through scripture, it's almost freaky. The amount of people who kind of like were the religious leadership or the spiritual people, the people who went to church, the people who do the little fancy stuff over here and do this little niceties and all the spiritual stuff and whose hearts are far from God. That freaks me out. Because those very people, they missed it. They couldn't even see it in their own lives. They needed Jesus here to come, even though they were ticked at, pissed at him, just like, no, that's not cool. They needed Jesus to come and be like, yeah, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And it actually took an outside source to come and actually reveal that to them. I mean, that's kind of today what I'm trying to do with this message. That's what I want to have happen. That actually something might be revealed today. That was just maybe even one or two of you might just reflect on your heart and just be like, yeah, where is my heart? Like, I do all of the spiritual stuff. I'm connected to a church body. I'm connected. Like, I got the Christian friend. I read my Bible. Like, I'm connected in some spiritual ways, but my heart is far from God. And as I was thinking about this, I was really thinking about it because today we are not in a series. Next week we're kicking off a brand new series leading up to Christmas. But we're not in a series, and I was thinking, okay, what can I talk about as we move into this Christmas season that's going to be so just relevant for each and every one of us? And I think this is the message, because as we move into Christmas, Christmas is a time that's full of spiritual stuff. There's all sorts of spiritual things that take place. I was in Walmart last night, okay? I was in Walmart last night buying pillows. I was buying pillows because we left our pillows in Wisconsin accidentally. Man, talk about what do you do? Like an hour in, you left your pillows, you know? Just got to keep going. Walmart's got more. So I'm in Walmart last night buying pillows, okay? Which, by the way, I thought there was like one pillow out there. Wow. There's just like so many different pillows out there. It was so hard for me to be like, I don't know. I was like laying down in the aisle, sleeping on them. Not just kidding. But I was in Walmart. It was amazing how these Christmas songs are going. And the Christmas song in this super, like, cultural store, right, just pumping up stuff into our lives, it's singing these spiritual songs of, like, I don't even remember the song, but it was like some song singing about God. And I was like, oh, interesting. My point is, all those sorts of things are like that at this time of the year. People go to church more. People start maybe taking up the little Advent, the little Bible reading plan. Sure, I'll give it a shot for a month. Maybe I'll see what happens with that. We start to treat it almost kind of like a diet. Like, yeah, I'll give it a shot for a little bit. I'll give it a shot. I'll see what it looks like. I'll see what it feels like. I'll see if God can maybe kind of work something out quick here in a month. You know, just maybe kind of make something happen. There's all sorts of spiritual things. We start to get with family more. We start to be nice to people. You know, you drive through a parking lot and you see somebody that needs a jump, and you're like, you know what? If it was July, there's no way I'd stop, but you know, I'll stop and I'll give you a jump. Sure, I'll be a nice guy. And what can quickly happen, especially even now, is we can start to surround ourselves with all of this religious niceties. We have, like, spiritual things that kind of happen, and we're like, okay, I'm kind of connected to that thing and that thing and that, and our hearts are far from God. Like, we're not actually in relationship with him. I don't know if that's you or not this morning. I don't know. Where's your heart at? Where is your heart? I mean, this is a time where we can be filled, and it can seem like it's filled with all the right things. But are we close to God? I was looking at Matthew chapter 9. Jesus, a couple chapters earlier, says it like this. He says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. See, the religious leadership, that's what they had fallen trapped to. They had fallen trapped to doing all of this stuff, okay? But in the process, they actually were not doing the things that pertain to relationship with God and other people. True care for other people. I deserve mercy, not sacrifice. You think I want your sacrifice. I want your heart. I want to be in a relationship with you. And I just get nervous sometimes that we know how to play the game. You know, as Come As You Are Church, we have people in here who are atheists, who are skeptics, who are people. And I love that. I truly love that. Today's message, I'll be honest with you, is really for you, Christian. It's really for the person who's like, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. It's like the person who, if somebody were to come and knock on your door, okay, and they came and knocked on your door and you opened the door, you would know the right things to say to get them off your porch. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody were to be like, yeah, do you believe in God? Yeah, of course I believe in God. Like, you know the right things to say to end the conversation. Like, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, really? You believe in God? Okay. What does that look like? I believe in God. And again, I'm not. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of us in this very room. Like, yeah, we believe in God. Well, why do we believe in God? We believe in God oftentimes, and I think here's why, because we don't mind a Savior. We don't mind somebody who can save me from, like, eternal damnation. Oh! Yeah, okay, I'll take that one. I'll cover my bases over there. But when it comes to, like, any kind of lordship or Jesus being king or Jesus speaking something into your life that you'd prefer not to hear, see, we don't necessarily want that stuff. We want Jesus as, like, Savior guy who can, we can maybe cover our base with, yeah, like, of course I believe in God. Some spiritual power out there that, yeah, okay, fine. And we start to play games. We know the things to say. We know just how to kind of say stuff. And Jesus looks and says, yeah, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. So how close? How close? How close does relationship, how close does God want to be to us? What does it look like to be connected in a relational, my heart is close to God kind of way? What does that look like? And I instantly, my brain just went to John 15. I just love this scripture where Jesus says, man, abide. That word abide, I just love that. Abide in me and I in you. Watch this. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Do you get that? Jesus is saying, abide, be close to me. I want your heart. I want to be in relationship with you. Abide in me. But quickly we ask then the question, well, what does that mean? What does abide mean? And I have three things that I want to just kind of, these aren't things that like are the only three things. These are just three that quick popped into my head as I was thinking about this word abide. What does abiding in Jesus look like? What does that look like? There's three words I want to look at. I think the first word that just jumped out at me is a heart that receives. A heart that's receiving from God. What does it look like to abide? The first thing is a heart that receives from God. Look at that John 15 text again. Look at this. Look at, already you're beginning because of the word that I have spoken to you. That was right before this that text. Already you are clean because of my word that I've spoken to you. Are you receiving this? Are you receiving from God? I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Have you been receiving the blessings and gifts that God gives? Do you receive that? Like, do you regularly receive from God his benefits, his blessings, his gifts, things like forgiveness? Do you receive forgiveness? Do you receive that? Do you receive that incredible gift of Jesus who died for you? As we were back in Wisconsin last week, we worshiped in my home congregation, and it's got all like the stained glass windows and stuff. Okay, really cool church. And one of the stained glass windows that's way up front, is this cross. It's a stained glass cross. Okay, and there's two phrases that are attached to that window. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, man, if you spend some money on stained glass windows, right? Which I've actually looked into here. I've looked into like how we could somehow incorporate stained glass. I think that'd be cool. Somehow like in the room, like framed or something. But like if we were to buy a stained glass window, like what would you want on it? What would the phrase or the thought be? And it was interesting because I'm looking up at this stained glass window that's going to be here for, what, decades, potentially centuries? I mean, it could be a long time that's there. What is the phrase that you'd put there? And obviously, churches choose different things. But my home congregation, there's one phrase right underneath Jesus on the cross. Stained glass window of Jesus on the cross. And the phrase says, he died for all. He died for all. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, that is a message that you can't hear enough. That is a message you can't receive enough of that. I mean, you could literally go to church there for the next 400 years and look up and see that and let that and receive that. He died for me. I was looking last night with our devotions with our family, and I looked at my daughter. We were doing a Bible story, and I looked at my daughter and I said, Ariana, Jesus died for you. And you know what she said back to me? She says, yeah, Dad, but he also died for everybody. Wow. Talk about receiving that. Are you receiving forgiveness? Are you receiving the gift of what Jesus has done for you? To abide in him. What does a branch do with a vine? It just receives. It just soaks up. Do you see that? It just, whatever the vine is doing, then the branch just like, it doesn't like, hey, give me more nutrients. It just soaks it up. It just takes it in. What does abiding look like? And abiding looks like receiving from the vine. And understanding the relationship between the vine and the branch. The branch does not ever, if you're looking at like a big stump, okay, a big log, and a little branch, which one is connected to which one? Well, come on, we'd all be like, the branch is connected to the big one. The big one's not like connected into the little one. Do you see what I'm saying? No, it's the big one. It's the big stump thing that like soaks up and it's got it. And then it just puts it over into the little branch. And the little branch just receives that. It just receives it. All of the gifts, all of the blessings, all of the nutrient, all the stuff. Are you doing that today? Are you just receiving from God all of his blessings? Second word I want to look at. What does it look like to abide in me? I think the first is to receive from him. Second is to seek. Are you seeking? Are you seeking him? Do you seek him? Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Check this out. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Done. Okay. Who's doing that? guys, I'm not trying to make today just like a super law-based, like everybody leaves feeling crappy. Okay, I'm not. That's how it can maybe come across. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just asking the questions like, are we seeking God? Are you seeking him? Are you striving after him? Do you ever open up your Bible? Ever? Like, do you ever open it up and just like, I am seeking God. I am seeking to hear from him. Do you ever just get down on your knees and just say a prayer? God, I don't even know if you're there. I don't even fully get it all, but I am seeking after you in Jesus' name. Do you ever do that? God, I don't know about this situation and scenario in my life. I don't know if I should do this decision or do this decision. I don't know if I should go to this college or this. Do you ever get on your knees and seek him? God, I actually want you to help me figure out which college to go to. Should I date this guy or not? Should I blah, blah, blah or not? God, I'm seeking you. I actually, seeking means you believe the thing. You actually believe this stuff to be true, guys. Christianity is not games. It's not like niceties. We actually believe it to be true. And so when we seek because it's like, yeah, I'm going to find. I'm going to find because it's real. It's true. There really is a God who listens to me. But so often our lives don't look like that. Our lives don't look like our lives look like we say it. We acknowledge it with our lips. But where is our heart? Are we seeking? And the third word, as I was just thinking about, what does it look like to abide in me? What does it look like to abide in Christ? What does it look like to be a branch connected to the vine? First is just, are you receiving God's good gifts? Are you seeking after him? Believing you'll find and he'll work in your life. And then the third thing I was thinking about is just walking. Are you walking? Look at this from 1 John. Check this out. A heart that's abiding in him is also walking. Whoever says, and I just, like, man, it was just so perfect. I had to share it. This is from the Bible. Whoever says he abides in me, in him, ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. I mean, it's just like, okay, no brainer, got to put that one in too. Are you walking in step with the Spirit? That would be like from Galatians, if you know your Bible, like Galatians, like chapter 5-ish, talks about us walking in step with the Spirit of God. So, the fruits of the Spirit. Are we walking in those things? Are we living in God's Spirit working in us? And it's really easy to kind of look at some of that and be like, man, actually, according to God's word, I'm not walking in that. Okay, I want to seek how I could get strength to make that happen. Whatever it might be, are you walking? Does your life look kind of like Jesus's? Right here at this point, every time I've gone through this message in my mind and even verbally, I've come to this point where I'm like, everybody's going to be thinking that like we're looking for perfection here and you got to be perfect. I get it. I get we make mistakes. I get we struggle. I get we have sin and we constantly are doing, I get it. That's why we actually go back to Jesus who we need strength from. We need his strength to seek him. We need his strength to continue to receive from him. We need his strength to walk in his Spirit and what he's doing in our lives. I get it. We need him. That's my point. That's where this message is all gospel, because he actually gives himself to you. He comes to bring you himself. He comes to give you the strength you need. He comes to die for you. He comes to save you. He comes to give you life, true life that's full, fuller than you can even imagine, fuller than you could even put together as the life that you think life should look like. And God's like, man, if you only knew, if you only knew what I got for you. God, God's got so much more. And the question is, are we just playing the game? Look at C.S. Lewis. I'm going to read this quote from you. This is from Mere Christianity. And he's talking very specifically. I think it's one of my favorite quotes from the book. It's very specifically about Jesus. And check this out. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, Jesus, he's talking about. I'm ready to accept Jesus. This is what maybe somebody might say. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. And listen to what he says. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, or a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at your feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he didn't intend to. You hearing that? Like that's like in Revelation where it talks about, like, I'm not looking for lukewarm people. I'd actually rather you be cold or hot. That's where this message, and even those of you in this room who are like, no, I just totally don't believe in God. I'm here for just the community or something. In some ways, in many ways, I respect that more. Because you're just kind of like, nope, just not. That's just not. You're cold. You know, you'd be, according to Scripture, you'd be like, that's sounds terrible. But that's just the way it would be. Like, you'd be like cold or hot. This is lukewarm. It's kind of like playing the game. Like, I say the right stuff. I'm kind of connected. But my life doesn't look like I'm receiving from God on a regular basis. His forgiveness, his mercies that are new every morning, his word that him speaking into my life, I don't receive that on a regular basis. I don't walk in a manner that would be like walking in his spirit who's leading and guiding me. I'm not seeking after him. You see what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to make it sound like they're super Christians. I'm talking about the simplicity of this stuff. This isn't like, you know, some of you are like, oh, you just want me to, you know, become a monk. I get it. You just want me to quit my job and just read. I'm not. That's actually not even, I wouldn't even say that's biblical. You keep living out your vocations. Keep working. Yeah, I mean, some of you are like, I don't have time to read my Bible says. You want me to become a monk? No, maybe just the 4 hours of TV that every night you're watching. Maybe you could cut into that a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not even trying to be a goober when I'm saying that. I'm just, right? That's what we're talking about. The simplicity of some of this. Not the, you got to go become a monk. Just, is it real or not? If it's real, then cool. If it's not real, fine. But is it real? Because then this is my last question. It's a lot shorter. It doesn't have as much talking. But my last question is this. Are you missing out? Are you missing out? I think of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and says, hey, I want to follow you. And Jesus is like, okay, go sell everything you have and come follow me. And the rich young ruler, as he turns and walks away, my heart gets sad because I'm like, that guy missed out. He missed out. He went and lived probably a fine life, had a bunch of money, bought a bunch of stuff, bought new trucks, he probably had a great life. But when he walked away from Jesus that day, he walked out on a whole life of fullness of all the stuff that Jesus wanted to give to him. He walked out on true life. And time after time in God's word, we do this. Listen, there's forgiveness for us. There's many of us that have done that. in some ways, we do that every day. In our sinful flesh, we continue to struggle. And in my sinful flesh, I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first one to say, in my sinful flesh, I just want to go and live life and buy trucks and buy guns and enjoy life and just go on vacation and do all. That's what I want to do in my sinful flesh. And so we keep going back to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know that's not what's best. I know you have something better for me. I know you're working in my life. I know you want to, and you're going to have to give me the strength to continue to receive from you, to continue to seek after you with everything I got, and to continue to walk as you'd have me walk. I'm going to need your strength. And that's what we do. That's what faith is. Faith keeps going back to Jesus. Jesus, I need you like crazy. Jesus, I need you like crazy. Jesus, I need you like crazy. Where's your heart today? Please, 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 I beg of you, please ask that question. Where's your heart today? And the second is, are you missing out? Are you missing out on something that maybe God's got for you? If you want to have that conversation, I personally would love to have that conversation with you. And I also know that everybody else would, I mean, we all want to have that conversation with each other. So please reach out. Let's get that conversation going in your life. What can this look like? What is this? What does that mean? And I get it. Some of you have no connections with family that does that. You don't have people who've modeled that for you. You don't know, and you really don't know. And that's why I'm nervous that this message would come off super like, no, just let's just work. Let's just go together in this. Let's call upon God to help us with this, and then use each other. I want to pray for you.